Okay, we're continuing on page Pei Vav. We're in the second paragraph. We talked a lot about it yesterday, about the idea of greatness, and that greatness, on the one hand, is not within one's grasp, but on the other hand, it is in one's grasp. It's not in one's grasp because one is not naturally able to become great, but he's able to grasp it with Hashem's help. And Hashem's help will come after you open a hole the size of the eye of a needle. And then Hashem will open up much more than that, which means that we really can't achieve all these things. But Hashem will help us after we've done everything that we can. Then Hashem says, now I'll take over and work on that. And it becomes purely a gift. It's a gift for Hashem to take us to the place where we are supposed to be. So, and the last thing we ended off was that Hashem wants to give us all this greatness. And on a deeper level, if a person figure he's working on his own strength, then Hashem says, okay, if that's all you're thinking about and that's all you want, well, then that's all you have. But if you have to remove the I, the capital I, which is the great barrier between you and your neshama, when you remove that, you put yourself in Hashem's control and give all the effort you can, that arouses that spiritual spark that is inside. So it comes out. Second paragraph from the top of Pei Vav. Nimtza lefi zeh, comes out according to this. Shekedei lios adam gadol, if you want to be a great person, ain't tzorech b'koiches nefesh Elohim. You don't need to have supernatural abilities. Tzorech rak lahakriv me'atzmas chelko shelo. One has to sacrifice his own part. U'kesha adam makriv es chelko be'emes. The person really sacrifices his own self, his own part. He attaches himself to the attribute of mercy of Hashem. You receive gifts that are unlimited. Unlimited. Okay. And that only really happens if you're connecting to Hashem. You're saying to Hashem, I want you to take me to what I'm supposed to become. And I'll give all the effort I can, and I know it's not going to do the whole thing. That's the key. Marna Chazanish Tzal, Be'achas Migoros of Kosev. The Chazanish wrote in one of his letters, Shebetchil Yesh Tzorech Bomul Kosha Umifrach. In the beginning, it takes a lot of hard work, back-breaking work. Avol Acher Mikam, but after the hard work, Niftach Shar Chodosh, a new gate opens up, Asher Hasechel Misanig locates, where the intellect takes the light without any limit. Mosai said, Kor, when does that happen? Keshe Kodesh Baruch Hu Megalos Ponef, when Hashem reveals his countenance, Bebechinas, as in the aspect of the blessing of the Kohanim, Kibior Panecha Nasat Olona, rather the Shim Shalom, because with the light of your countenance, you give us all these things that it says in the Shemoneh Esrei. Or ponim shulamalim madregas haoved, a shining light of the face that is beyond the level of the person who serves. Shom matchila hasaga mitis. That's when the true understanding comes. He's talking about learning Torah, but it's in other areas. So anam she'en lo shifa mitis haseis adam gadol. If a person does not have that real true ambition to be a great person, kashim od sheismach menu mashu, it's very hard for anything to come out of this. Gama sheifa shu kein shof masu, even the regular ambitions that you have, b'derech klal gamheim holchas v'nechloshos, they too generally get weaker. Why? Because you're going, in other words, what he's saying is, even your own abilities, your natural abilities, the maximum of your natural abilities, even that you're not going to reach. Because in general, a person, it's hard to even max out, let alone go beyond your maximum. But the ability to max out depends on how much you're going to put yourself into Hashem's care. And usually people aren't going to achieve that if not putting themselves in Hashem's care. So love lahachli rachlata amidah. So a person has to really make a true decision. Benafsho in his soul, shu yochel lotzeis gadol shevidol. You have to really believe in yourself that you can become the greatest of the great. Lo mikor shu choshesu bar mala. Not from the strength of the fact that he understands what his characteristics are and his greatness is. Kim kachu bal gaiva, because if that's the way it's going to be, he's arrogant. Lo bar mala, he has no levels at all. But it comes from the part that he believes that Hashem is completely kind, kulo rachmin, completely merciful. When he does what's in his ability to do, Hakadosh Baruch Hu yeshpiel alav kifi midas tovo. Hashem will bring upon him according to the level of the goodness that Hashem has. And that's the true sense of knowing who and what you are. Knowing who and what you are is to enable Hashem to bring it out for you. And he'll bring it out for you if you really want it. And you really are going to obviously use it for what Hashem wants you to use it for. Then Hashem, and you daven to Hashem and ask Hashem, Hashem is going to give it to you. Hashem is going to give you abilities well beyond. That's what Hashem wanted us to be. Before he gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, remember we talked about in the Piyas Etzner Rebbe's early in the Sefer Chovos HaTalmidim, student's obligation, he said, many of us want to just be regular Jews. And a regular Jew is a great Jew. There's no such thing as an average Jew. The average Jew is a great Jew. Because Hashem told us before he gave us the Torah that I want you to become a mamleches kohanim and a goy kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That means everyone is a king and everyone is a priest and everyone is holy. Those are three things that every Jew is supposed to be. That's what a Jew is all about. So obviously, if Hashem wants us to be that way, he has to give us the ability somehow to be that way. So how does that ability come? It comes from him giving it to us beyond what our natural talents are. So again, that what we're supposed to be, Hashem has uniquely created within us, within our neshamas, this ability to connect to the greatest potentials that we can be. That's what the neshama is. The neshama is that connection to Hashem, that through that neshama, through that connection to Hashem, Hashem infuses you with that ability to be great. But we don't realize the power of the neshama, because we don't access that part of the neshama. That part of the neshama only comes when you realize you got a neshama. You realize what's going on. And that's what all this dveikus business is all about. All this clinging to Hashem. That means to get close to Hashem. And we're meant to connect to that neshama. That is the powerhouse that connects us to the source of the ability to be as great as we're supposed to be. So it's in the soul. It's naturally in the soul. But the problem is we don't tap into that soul. And as long as we only look at our physical, superficial talents, then we limit who and what we are. And that's the key, is to realize Hashem wants us to become that great person. There's nobody here who wasn't meant to be great in one sense or another. Now, how we measure greatness is different ways. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, I told you the story about the Tefillin Man. The Tefillin Man was a great too, although it didn't look like a great man. And for him, that was his godless. That was his greatness for him to achieve. But each one is meant to have a measure of greatness. And if one does not achieve it, to a certain extent, one is a failure. And that's what we mentioned in the beginning of the first volume. When there was one tzaddik who asked his students, what do you see out there? And they said, I see Moshe the tailor and Shmuel the shoemaker. And he said, what do you, he says, I see a graveyard. I see a graveyard. Right? Cause that Shmuel the tailor was supposed to be Shmuel the Rosh Hashiva. And this one, the shoemaker, was supposed to be this one, this great, in this area, this one great in that area. And people don't realize those potentials that they were meant to have. And if you know, it's a non-realized potentials is a graveyard. Yeah. Question, Mitch.
Successful at becoming what he has set us up to become. Because we have to make the choices in order to achieve the quote-unquote greatness that we're all capable of. So doesn't an ego issue, doesn't a gaiva issue come with that?
No. There's no problem of a gaiva issue, because if you realize that Hashem is the one who's giving it all to you, you have nothing to be arrogant about. You're doing nothing here. You're just asking Hashem to give it to you, and you're doing what you can do, and that even if we just work within your own physical limitations, that's all what God gave you, right? The Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't get greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. How come he wasn't arrogant? Because he knew all he was doing was tapping into what Hashem was giving him. And if that's all it is, it's like we said yesterday, the guy who climbs up the steps and then the magnet pulls him up to the top, he's not arrogant to think he climbed 5,000 steps. He knows the magnet pulled him the last 4,700 steps. He knows it was a magnet. What did he do? He did his little bit. What I was godly given to do on a superficial level, I did the talent I was meant to do. And then God carried me the rest of the way. There's a room for a gaiva, because a person who realizes, connected to Hashem, he realizes that he himself is doing nothing more than what God gave him the ability to do. So what are you going to brag about? I did what I naturally could do? I could naturally do X on my own. So I did what I was meant to do with the strength of Hashem also. So what did I do? I opened up the eye of a needle. Okay, shkoyach. So how arrogant can you be by opening up the eye of the needle? You opened up an eye of the needle. That's all you opened. That's all you did. And even that was with the strength Hashem gave you to do. Even the ability to open up the eye of the needle was nothing. So what do you do? You're doing what God gave you the talent to do. No more, no less. You can thank Hashem and feel good about the fact that you lived up to the potential that God gave you. That's all. So that there's not, now the problem is, you're right, a lot of people mistaken their success for their own eye, and that's when the ego gets in the way. But any arrogant people, one thing you can know for sure, any arrogant person has not reached his potential. Because if he's arrogant, he's not giving God any credit. If he's not giving God any credit, then God didn't step in and give him more than he deserves.
Why?
Because they don't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not giving God the due credit. That's the sin of this.
God gave us the ability.
Yeah, and he gave you.
Why is such a large percentage of the people not able to? And I don't want to sound this thing condescending, but we're sitting here. Why is such a large percent of the people not able to achieve the goal that Hashem set out for us?
Why are most people failing? Right? Why are most people failing? It's because we're not following the guidelines. You know, we're not following the guidelines. We are. This is called galus. This is called the overbearing power of the power of illusion and falseness that Jews are falling prey to. That's why did 80% of Jews not want to leave Mitzrayim? You know, it's a very strong force. We're not following the prescription that the Torah says.
Right.
So why are so many people in Africa dying from AIDS when there's cures to this? Because they don't know the instructions. They don't know the instructions, and they're not interested in the instructions. Right? Why are so many people dying of AIDS in North America? Forget about in Africa. You know, I told you they got these ads out now. It's just incredible. You can't miss that. Like you go, like I said, even you go into the change rooms in the club, they got little screens flashing things. So you know, they show you 6-7 people with tearful faces. Hello, I'm so and so. I was just infected with HIV. They show you 5 or 6 of those in a row, and you're supposed to have big rachmonis on them, and then obviously give a lot of money to find the cure for AIDS. So you know. So I'm saying this, we don't need to find a cure for AIDS, just don't be a behemoth. And that's the cure for AIDS. So why aren't people not being behemoths? Because that's the Yetzer Hara. They don't want to follow what it says in the Torah. If you don't want to follow what it says in the Torah, you are doomed for failure. And the problem of Golus is, Golus says that, you know, the Torah is not the most important thing in your life. So if you're not taking the prescription, you're going to fail. And the Yidden are not taking the prescription. It's plain and simple. You have a choice. You have a choice. The problem is you have the freedom of North America. Is there's too much freedom? You have so much freedom to make any choice you want. And the other alternatives are very attractive, superficially, and people fall for the superficiality of it. And that's why they're falling. That's why they're falling. It has a lot to do with child rearing and all the mistakes that people make because they're not following the Torah. That's a famous thing that Rabbi, the Moznaim L'Torah of Sirotskin talks a lot about this. He says, why are most Jews failing? He says in general, why are most Jews failing? When the solution is so obvious, right? The Torah says it, but no one wants to follow the solution. That's it. People aren't connecting to the Torah. If you don't connect to the Torah, then you cannot win. That's why we keep hammering away. The most important mitzvah is Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. You say it every day in the Davening. The most important thing you can do is to learn Torah. There's nothing more important in your life than to learn Torah. Right? You don't want to listen to it. You want to listen, you'll fail. God says it in the Torah. You will fail. Okay. It's not a... Why are some people dying from lung cancer? It says it right on the box. This will kill you. I want to read the instructions. That's all. So why? That's the way it is. So you don't want to do this. So it's going to happen. Why are some people overweight? Right. Would you say the majority of Canadians are overweight, Joby? You see them every day. You physical them every day. What would be the percentage?
Just over half.
Over half the people are overweight to the point that their health could be affected, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? So... And you say it like a robot to them. You should lose weight, right? Now, sometimes you say it stronger, sometimes you say it milder. I mean, what you should say, if people could hear you, is if you don't lose weight, you are more likely to get a heart attack, you're more likely to get diabetes, you're more likely to get all these diseases, and why don't you just shape up, buddy? Right? But you never would say it that way. But that's what's happening, right? And a doctor who's trained to know, who's the expert, is saying, you've got to lose weight. And what? Yeah, I know, doc. You're right, doc. I don't think anybody argues with you and says, no, I believe I should be fat. Right? But what can I do? Those Napoleons are attacking me. I can't resist. So you're choosing not to follow the instructions. You don't want to follow the instructions. Then you're not going to get anywhere. So if we don't follow the instructions, we don't even learn the instructions. We don't follow the instructions. And those are the ones that you see, Joey. How about those don't even go to a doctor? How many percentage of people would you say don't even go for physicals?
Lots.
And I would bet you more of those are overweight also.
Sure.
Probably a higher percentage.
Go to the rabbit, ask questions.
That's right. I'm saying. So, that's right.
Good,
that's right. So that's the answer, Joey. There is a Yetzirah for people not to learn Torah. And if people don't learn Torah, they fall into these mistakes. That's all. And people are interested in quick fixes, not any long-term solutions. And that's the problem. It's nothing more clever than that. And that's what Golus is. Golus is when we live in a world where the superficial temptations are so strong and we have to fight so hard and the people just don't fight. And that's what happens. There's no exotic answer, Mitch. It's just a straightforward answer. And the Torah says it. Says it in Dvarim that you're able to do tshuva. You're able to come close to Him. Ki korov hadavar meod befivcha ubevavcha la'asos. It's close to you in your mouth and in your heart to do it. It's close. It's close. It's easy to do tshuva. You just have to want to do it. That's all. So if you don't want to do it, then it's hard, and then people aren't interested in it. That's the problem. That's what all these farmers are saying, just want to be close to Hashem. People don't. Okay, next.
Rabbit.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble understanding what the Chazon Yeshua is saying there. What it says
He says, when a person, in the beginning, it is very hard to make any headway. In whatever your task is, let's say in learning Torah, it's very hard in the beginning. You want to learn Gemara. Go break your head on it. It's impossible. It's impossible. You get very little in a very long time. In the beginning, to use your own abilities, it's very hard to just stick with the program, and it's just hard. Okay? Even within your own talents, it's not easy. You've got to use your own. It's like the guy was climbing the ladder. It was hard. The 300 step, 301, 302. That is killing him, right? But then when Hashem takes over, then it's a breeze. All of a sudden, they get to the tipping point. Then it goes. Yeah, they don't. That's another reason they don't stick with it. They don't stay with the program. Another reason, right? Okay, so that's what he said. And there's never any good project that one is involved with that it started easy. It was easy from beginning to the end. It just doesn't exist. And that's what it says. Kol haschalos kashas. All beginnings are very hard. The beginning is so hard because you're trying to make a change, and the Yetzer Hara sees that, and he's throwing everything at you. Because he knows once you use your up talents, then he knows God's going to take over, and then he's finished. When God gets you going down, picks you up with a magnet, the Yetzer can't stop you at all. So that when is it going to stop you? Before you get to that spot. So he's throwing everything at you, saying you're not going to be able to succeed. It won't succeed. You're going to fail. You don't have the ability to do this. And those play on you, and it makes it more difficult. And that's why he's saying it's backbreaking. But once you get past that stage, then Hashem will just take you. You're going to go flying. Yeah, Sammy.
Why doesn't Hashem make it the other way around? Most of the failures occur right at the beginning. I want to make it easier at the beginning, and then as it gets harder, you get better, so it's easier to cope with. Why would he make it easier at the end? You start at the beginning, it's very difficult, and most people fail. 80% fail. 90% fail. Why not make it easier in the beginning?
To know if you truly want it.
But they want it. They still
why is marriage? They why is marriage so hard in the beginning?
Why?
I don't know.
To know if you really want it. Do you really want some? If it comes easy, that the rule of spirituality is, the rule of free will choice is that the right choice is the more difficult one to make, and the wrong choice is the easier one to make. Why does God do that? To make it balanced. To make it a balanced choice. On the one hand, it's the ease of doing something wrong, because we really want to do what's right. But if doing right is easy, then we'd all do the right thing. I want to be a Talmud Chacham, I'm going to open up a Gemara. Wow, this is easy. This is easy. So why not? It's coming easy. So of course I'm going to do this. Wow, I'm just going through pages. It's unbelievably easy. So that everyone's going to say, that's great, let's go for it. But that's not, then where's the free will choice? Where's the free will choice?
Because it's
easy and hard middle.
Yeah.
Listen, there's.
So let us start and make it easy for us to become a nation of priests.
There's an issue of sincerity that God is looking to see, and He wants you to realize that it's not coming on your own. It's not coming on your own.
Decision is mine to start.
Okay, and
but you've already made the decision to start then.
Difficulties. Yeah, you want to test me to see my metal, to see how strong I am? Well, do me a favor, when I already passed the 361st step, you're going to grab me up and pick me up. Thank you very much, but I already did.
Listen, even when God grabs you up and picks you up,
there's 5,000 steps there.
Even when God grabs you up, there's still challenges along the way. I mean, you know, I don't want to make it seem like you don't have to do anything.
It pulls you right up.
It pulls you up. But as the Gemara also says, kol shegadol mechaver yitzur gadol v'eno. Anyone who is greater than his friend, his yetzer hara is bigger also. Even when a person is great, doesn't mean to, the Chazon Ish would get to Gemara so he didn't understand. And what did he do? He would daven to Hashem to help him understand. Well, why is the magnet pulling him? Because it's still challenging. Not minimizing the challenges. He realizes, okay, I gotta go back, and work hard again and get back, but he knows that's what he's got to do. But in the beginning, that's what Hashem, that's the way it is in every endeavor. That's the way life is. Life starts from darkness to light. From confusing to clarity. Right? Once if it's easy in the beginning, it's not likely that you're gonna give it up. Once you've tasted the success, then you have enough understanding to know that you're not going to fail. You're not going to fail. If God's going to make it harder, then you're already clever enough, not to stumble and say, I got to think more. It's a good question, Sam. It's probably the best question I've heard in weeks. So let me think more about it. It's a good question. Why did God do it this way? Why didn't he do it that way? Listen, what's the first of all, anybody who wanted to could be one.
No.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
well, again, the Torah says, a mamleches kohanim, a kingdom of priests.
There are circumstances the playing field is not equal. There are people who are born in homes where they have absolutely no knowledge about the Yiddishkeit. They grow up and they come 20, 30. Take me for an example. I had nothing to do with Yiddishkeit until I was 20.
Okay, listen, again, what is beyond your control is beyond your control.
So that's not an equal playing field, is it?
No, we're not going to be all the same level. That's what I said yesterday. Not everyone's going to be exactly on this level. Greatness is in terms of what you're meant to. There's bigger priests and smaller priests. Okay, like I said, in Europe 150 years ago, every frumbala bus knew Shas backwards and forwards. Still wasn't a rabbi.
Sure.
That's fine, but they were all a kingdom of priests. There are people with, God says, you, I'm going to make a bigger scholar, you'll make a lesser scholar. But everybody's meant to be a scholar. Everyone's meant to be a scholar. Everyone's meant to be great in their way.
Not all
of them. No. People, again, but everyone was meant to be great. There are people who failed too. Not saying people didn't fail. But God wants everyone to be a scholar in Torah. You could be a shoemaker and a scholar. There's not a conflict between being a shoemaker and a scholar. You don't have to spend every minute of your life making shoes. Right? And you can spend a lot of time in your life studying Torah. I said it once, I'll say it many times. Everyone in this room can be a scholar before they return their soul to the Almighty. Everyone in this room. You just gotta want it. Badly. There's no reason why people couldn't be scholars. You'd have to make tough decisions. You'd have to reset your priorities. And if you would do that, you'd all be scholars. But what? You're not prepared to change your priorities. That's all. And I'm not saying that that's easy. And I'm not saying there's a lot of sacrifice involved. But it could be. Could all be scholars. But that's probably what God's looking for before Mashiach comes. People who have it harder to reach their potentials. But everybody could. It looks impossible. It looks impossible, but it's not impossible. The question is how much you're willing to give up for it. So again, most of us are not willing to go past our comfort zone. There is a comfort zone that is holding us back. And that comfort zone requires us to work X amount of hours a day, X amount of this, X amount of that. And we kind of believe the fact that we couldn't live without certain systems that are in place. But God does not want you to leave this world without maximizing what you could be. And we sell ourselves short in determining what that maximum is. That's the problem. Now, of course, there's some people who God has someone born into a totally secular family. They never come to understand that they're great. It's God's rutzen. It's God's rutzen. People go through this world without even realizing it. We're not talking about those kind of people. We're talking about people who are learning this safe. So if you're learning this safer, you know already enough to know that there's a purpose to life and all these things, and how are you going to become great? And everyone can reach that level of greatness. We keep selling ourselves short. There are people who become Baal Tshuvas later in life, and they know Shas. They know it. Of course it's harder. So what? So it's harder. Right? So why is that? That mean you can't do it because it's hard? Doesn't mean you can't do it. Okay, you're not going to be a scholar like Rav Moshe Feinstein was. Okay, you don't have to be Rav Moshe Feinstein. But to be able to have said, I've tried every page in the Talmud, and I know it as best as I can. Of course there'll be higher levels to know it. So you're not going to be the biggest genius in the Talmud. Okay, but to say I've gone through it once and I know it to a certain degree. You know, then in Olam Haba, Hashem will fill in the gaps. But, you know, Hashem will give you in Olam Haba the things you tried, you didn't understand, Hashem will give it to you. But if you didn't try it, Hashem's not going to give it to you. Again, it's not going to happen tomorrow, and that's, if we will get to the next section, you will see why people, two sections, he will explain why people fall off the tracks. Why people fall off the tracks, and why they don't get through the program. That's coming up. You know, we can't ask Hashem. You know, there are great tzaddikim who were raised in abject poverty. Abject poverty. You know, the author of the Nesivos, he wrote his sefer on scraps of paper. He didn't even have money to buy paper. He wrote his, and it was so cold. It was so, what did he do? It was so hard for him to learn. He would have to, unbearable living conditions to be able to sit up late at night and learn Torah. People learn Torah without gas, without heat in their homes. There are people who are Hillel. I mean, that's what the famous Medrash says. That, that Hillel and Yosef and Elazar ben Charsum will bring all people to task. If God's going to ask everybody after 120 years, why didn't you learn Torah? Why didn't you learn more Torah? Why didn't you become a scholar? So the first guy is going to say, what do you want, Hashem? I was so poor. I had to spend all day trying to eke out a meager living. God, if you would have made me rich, then I would have been able to learn Torah. And Hashem will show you a picture of Hillel. Hillel was so poor. He was so poor. He only made two tropics, whatever that was, but it isn't a lot. Two tropics, that's all he made from his meager profession. And what did he do? One tropic he gave to his family, and one tropic he had to pay to get into the yeshiva. Because in those days, you couldn't get in unless you paid.
Things have changed.
I said paid. It's mamish. You see how it's gone from the reverse. Now we pay people to learn. Right? So and can you imagine what he, any else would have said? Listen, I need both tropics for my family, and it's still not enough.
What's that tropic? You need kopek?
Tropic. That's a Talmudic. This is from a couple thousand, 1500 years ago.
How much was?
Not a lot. I forgot. Very meager. You know, how much could they charge a guy to get into yeshiva every day? Right. And one day he didn't have the two tropics. They didn't let him into the yeshiva. So what did he do? He climbed onto the roof, onto the skylight, and he listened in. And then it snowed, and he froze to the top. He was frozen.
Now, how many people can be like that? That's extraordinary. It's, I mean, it's unusual.
If you wanted,
that's the mistake. That's the point. If he could do it, you could do it.
Fighting a different norm today.
So good. And there are people. So we come to the next fellow. Hold on, Mitch. So now we get the next excuse. Medrash knows all our excuses. The next one says, so why didn't you learn Torah, you? Man, Hashem, you know, you gave me such a Yetzirah. I have so much tivus. I just run after my tivus. And if I'm so busy with my tivus, my lusts, I have no time to learn Torah. I'm in the casinos, I'm with women, I'm with this, I'm with that. I'm with all these things. So Hashem says, do you have any bigger taiva than Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik had unbelievable taivas. And he was able to learn Torah too. He had big taivas, Yosef HaTzadik. Big taivas. And he was able to learn Torah. Good looking, handsome fellow. And he didn't forget his Torah when he was in Egypt. He kept learning. Then the last guy, why didn't you learn Torah? I was overcome by the pursuit of wealth. I had so much wealth. I was so busy trading stocks, exchanging bonds, going to big important meetings. I was like one of these top guys. It's like everything depended on me. It says, were you any richer than Eliezer ben Charsum, whose father bequeathed for him hundreds of islands of wealth? And he said, I'm leaving it all. He put his worldly possessions in a knapsack and just went into personal exile and didn't want to bother with the whole thing. Why is God saying that's a good excuse? Why is that a good answer to people? Because everybody has it within their ability to do this. That's the point. It's there. We're not willing to make the effort. You know, why are there so many successful people in the world? Forget about even Lahavdil in the secular world. There are successful and not successful people, right? Certainly part of that is Hashem, but a great part is people don't make all the effort they're capable of making. That's all. Hashem promises you, if you will make the effort, if you open up the opening of an eye of a needle, I will open it bigger. Hashem promised that it's for every Jew. For every Jew. So what's the answer? We're not opening up even the eye of a needle. That's the thing. An eye of a needle is all your effort. We're not making all our efforts. So you don't make all your effort, God doesn't open up. That's all. I know, we're getting back to what we started 2 days ago. Sammy, we're going backwards. Two days ago, what happened? We learned. Everybody thinks they're not going to be as great as these great people. Remember, these great people didn't start off great either. That's what we said yesterday. Yosef. Everybody can be a tzaddik. So they're not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, they're not doing. It's very rare that every
Hashem in the equation. If you go to the yeshiva, you learn, you study, you get all the instructions. You don't get anywhere at the end. And people who have no opportunity for this sort of thing are their chances. Zero. They're all Jews. Where's the nations of priests anyway?
Again, the yeshiva bachim who don't succeed is because they don't listen to what the rabbeim are telling them.
Why not?
Because they listen to their yetzirah instead. That's all. Why are people failing? They listen to their yetzirah instead. That's all. We can't change those realities. There is a Yetzirah.
We say that Hashem gives us the destiny the moment we're born, or even before.
That's right.
So how does it all fit in with this, that we choose not to be, we become, we are given to be a nation of priests?
Hashem, Lotzaro talks about this at length in the beginning of Derech Hashem, and he says everyone has free will choice. Free will choice means you have a Yetzirah that paints a beautiful picture of living outside of God's reality. And now you have to choose which one you want to be in. So guess what? That yeshiva bacher, it gets infiltrated in his life, the ability to watch sports, the ability to look at girls, the ability to do all these other things that are very attractive options. Hashem makes this world make them very attractive. So you have a free will choice. free will choice.
After I reach the 365th step or whatever, Hashem calls me up. There's no more free choice because he's going to help me. So why don't do it in the beginning?
Because he what? Because that's when that's. You've got to earn everything you get. You've got to earn everything you get. So from the get-go, he's got to make it hard. So everything you get, you've earned. Now there is an aspect of chinuch. And there's an aspect of chinuch where the parents have a lot of control as to how they can set up the scene for the kids. And to give them an environment that's more likely to succeed than one that's not likely to succeed.
Right.
That's the whole aspect of chinuch, of educating children properly. So parents make mistakes and don't give children the right education. And they allow those Yetzer Haras to get stronger than they needlessly have to be. Right? So that's, but God says, that's the way everything in this world is. Why doesn't, when you want to farm something, why doesn't he give you some of the stuff in advance? Why don't the plants grow right away without all the hard work? Right? Why is it that? That's the way of the world. God makes it hard in the beginning. And then if he sees you really are committed, you're committed, why? Because it's the Ratz Hashem and not because you've tasted the sense of success. That means you're more sincere and God wants purity of heart. Purity of heart means I work on it even if I don't know it's going to give me all what I'm looking for. That's how you find out how sincere a person is. All right, we're going to have to work on this more tomorrow. We'll continue tomorrow on this. It's good questions. You're making it hard on me. Baruch Hashem.